catches a simple flare pattern out into the flat, and the cornerback is there, and he just beast modes him, pushes him in the face, not once, twice, and into the end zone. That's Dallas Goedert, beast.
Necessary for sure. This one? That one? Oh, why not? I slowed down so he could come against all.
That's pretty dope.
How awesome was that? Welcome back.
Come get some.
Midday show. Hugh Douglas show. Julie Hugh. How about that? So that's the little behind the scenes there, and they mic'd up Goddard on the sideline. So, Hugh, that's Goddard watching his own touchdown on the screen afterwards, like the replay of it. And he was explaining to his teammates how he slowed down just to get that second stiff arm. That was awesome.
Yeah. I tell you what, man. That was a hell of a play by him. Guy who's coming off an injury. He's been injured most of the season. To come out and be and have a contribution like the one that he had this weekend, man. I expect to see more of that from Dallas Goedert in his playoff series.
So you called that last week. You talked about him as an X factor. And by the way, Nick Sirianni's press conference coming up in just a few minutes. We'll air that live for you in its entirety. Sirianni coming up. Very interested to see what he says about A.J. Brown and his chances to practice this week, today, how they're going to handle that, because he didn't look himself in the game Sunday. But, Hugh, you called the Goddard kind of like an X factor last week. And we were talking about this morning before the show. Goddard passed Chad Lewis during the game Sunday for the most playoff catches by a tight end in Eagles history for a career. And you kind of looked through the years. And I looked at it this morning because I was like, how did he – because I never remembered a huge Goddard game. Mm-hmm. But when I went and looked, he's consistently shown up in the playoffs. Like, you look at all his career games in the playoffs, and here there's a lot of four catches, five catches. Like, never does he have 9 or 10, but he's always a part of it. And
he's money.
Sunday,
he's money when they give him the opportunity. Yeah. Yeah, I mean –
well, that was a huge play.
Yeah, it was, man. And I kind of felt like with Jalen – you know, going through what he's going through. Somebody just asked me. You know, we had some clients come through, and they said, what's going on with Jalen? I said, dog, he had a concussion. I mean, I don't know what else to say. He had a concussion because they talked about the point of the game where, you know, he went, I think it was like a whole quarter or whatever without completing a pass or whatever it was. But I'm like, we won the game. And I expect him to be better next week. We get caught up on some of the smaller details, in my opinion. And that's okay, because that's what we do as fans. That's your God-given right to do as a fan. But the bottom line is we're advancing. Now, if the reason why things don't go the way we want them to go, and he's the cause, then that's the conversation we will have. But Jalen did enough for us to win and advance last week. That's what he did. He you know, did he leave meat on the bone? Yes. Could he have done more? Yes. He probably could have played a little bit better. But he played well enough for us to win, and that's all that matters.
It is. Let's get to Nick Sirianni, his press conference right now on WIP.
Anything tangibly that you've seen that shows the improvement since last time you guys faced off?
You know, they anytime you played a team as long ago as we played them, there's going to be things that have changed. And there definitely is. You know, they do a couple different things on defense, making it hard on you, making it challenging on you to predict what's coming. But yeah, Chris Shula's done a really good job coaching the defense. And again, they got really good, really good players, and especially on that defensive line. It's a good front that's playing really good football right now. To say they've, you know, exactly what they're changing, I'm not going to kind of get into that, but you know, they obviously have some changes, just like we have some changes since last time we played them.
What was your message to the team this week?
Talked about again the consistency of what's important, and our tough, detailed together is always going to be important. And then also we talked a little bit about, you know, embracing adversity in playoffs, in playoff football. You know, and just in the NFL in general, like, you know, there's going to be plays that when you're in a game that they're going to make, and even with your best efforts, they still could make the play. So how do you play the next play mentality? And again, that's something that we've focused on a lot all year is next play mentality. We're saying this week, embrace the adversity. And that's really another way of saying, hey, play the next play.
You got to work with Chris and with the Chargers. It's been a long time. Do you know anything? Do you have a foundational, like, sort of understanding of what he is as a coach?
From my experience with him at the Chargers now, you know, we've both been a lot of different places since then. Obviously enjoyed the relationship I had with him while we coached together, still consider him a friend. Obviously think he's a very good coach and he's doing a great job this year. But to say anything like not really as far as that goes, because again, his philosophy has continued to develop. My philosophy is continuing to develop. So, you know, it'll be a different handshake because I know him well. But that's about it.
Vic Fangio said that Jeremiah Trotter Jr. could or will get some playing time with N'Kobe out. How important was it that Jeremiah got that final regular season game and all that action, and what did he show you?
Yeah, I think that was important for all our guys to be able to get that. We had the opportunity, just like the Rams did, to give ourselves a bye week on the, you know, however you want to say that, to give our guys a rest. At the end of the regular season, and with that comes opportunity for other people, you know, that are backups, and it was really important for him. He played a really good game, you know, it was all over the stat sheet of what he did, and then all over the field. And so, you know, I feel really good about the linebacker room. Obviously, bummed about N'Kobe, but feel really good about the guys that are going to be able to step in and play in his absence. And just can't say enough about, you know, Trot and Oren. And Bobby King and Ronnell Williams, getting those guys ready.
An overview of the offense this year and Jalen's role within it. I mean, 2 years ago versus now, 100 pass attempts fewer. You've called the game manager notion bullshit with him. I mean, how much has he embraced this role in the offense, and how much of it was from input that he had throughout the year?
You know, again, it's to look at it a whole season like that and say we have 100 less passes. Yes, that is the truth, right? But games go differently. The way, you know, games were last year are different than the games were this year, right? And so we have been in some situations where we haven't passed the ball in the fourth quarter of a lot of different games. So I think that's, you know, and I think that's kind of hard to see that number. It's an astonishing number when you say it like that, but that's over a course of 17 games, and also again knowing that some of these guys didn't play in fourth quarters, and we didn't throw some in the fourth quarter. But again, I to answer your question, I think what we do is we do whatever we need to do to win each and every game. And so if that means you're in a 2 minute to end a game and you got to throw it like we did against New Orleans to get the ball down into the position to score, you do that. If you're in a position where you're in a 4 minute at the end of the game and you're running out the clock, to do whichever you need to do to win the game in that particular one, and you're running it well, then you do those things. And so I think that's just the nature of how that's went. And again, I think anytime that you have won whatever 13, 14, or 14, 15, whatever it is, your quarterback's going to be playing well. And Jalen's been playing very efficient. You know, he's taking care of the football. He's playing very efficient. He's playing great. He's playing really good football. You know, I know that the stats don't look, you know, the same way because of different circumstances, but I think Jalen's playing really, really good football at this stage of the year, and excited about his opportunity of what he gets to do on Sunday.
Nick, you protecting the football, you mentioned with Jalen. How did he go from having 25 turnovers over a span of 20 games or so to only just maybe, I think, four over the last 14.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, isn't it? It's
how did it happen?
Yeah, pretty impressive by him of you know, being able to lead us to wins while also taking care of the football. That's not an easy and be explosive and still take care of the football. That's not easy to do, because we talk about that a lot. How do you win the double positive? How do you win the explosive play battle? And how do you win the turnover battle? You know, and everybody's got hard jobs. That's a very hard job for a quarterback, to be able to create explosive plays and do the things that Jalen's done while also taking care of the football with running it and throwing it. So just unbelievable effort and concentration on his part of going where the right place with the football, while also when he is a runner, protecting the football like you know, Saquon does, or like you know, AJ does. And so I can't give him enough credit for that, because that's very difficult, and it's really, you know, when you win the turnover battle in this league, and it really dictates one of the best stat indicators of what's going to happen in the game. And so it's really just a great job by him putting our team in position to win each week because of how he's taking care of the football.
At the combine last year, one thing Howie said was that you guys looked after last year and said you need to play young players more. Have you been more deliberate in that, or especially as injured replacements?
Yeah, I think we've played a lot of young guys. We're young on defense. Now, at this point of the year, when you're 17, 18 games in, you're like, okay, the experience is there. They've played a full year of football. Now we're into playoff football. But I think at the end of the day, we always owe it to ourselves to play the guys that best give us a chance to win. And I think it's just the nature of it that these guys have given us a chance to win. And they've gotten better as the season has went on. And so, I wouldn't say any extra. You know, it's worked out that way, and I'm happy that it has.
Nick, Saquon's closing in on 400 touches. What have you seen from him as far as the way he takes care of himself and, you know, his fitness level and how he's managed to navigate the season and play at a high level?
Yeah, he does a lot of things just to get himself ready each Sunday, both mentally and physically. And I think, you know, he's an ultimate pro that you know, knows how important that it is that he's in great shape, weighing what he needs to weigh, working hard in the weight room to do the preventative things, the prehab, the post, the rehab stuff. And so he really does a good job of taking care of his body to get himself where he can touch the ball that much. And that's a group effort. You know, I can't say enough about all the guys that work with him as well. You know, the strength staff, the training room staff, the doctors that all work with him to make sure he's on that, on that path. And so there's some things too with Saquon that, you know, you'll have load management throughout the week to get him ready. I think you guys have asked me of that a bunch, and like our job on each every Sunday is to win the game by however we need to win the game. You know, all that matters, what does Jalen say? The main thing's the main thing. How are we going to win this game? So you do everything you can to win the game. So really the management of Saquon and how he feels good is what is happening Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And quite frankly, that's the same thing that we believe is like the things that you do Monday through Saturday, whether it's training, whether it's taking care of your body, whether it's the work that you put in the film room, whether it's the work you put on the field, are direct indicators of if you're going to win or lose the game or how you're going to perform. And so this is no different. And Saquon just, you know, has a relentless work ethic in everything that he does, and which makes him pretty special.
When you look at the first game when Saquon had the 255 yards against the Rams, how much of a luxury is it, you know, knowing that they have to pretty much account for that somehow this week, you know, knowing that you...
Yeah, you know... We know that everyone's going to account for that, and that's not new to us. They'll see stuff on tape that they'll want to do differently and that they'll want to repeat, and we'll see stuff on tape that we'll want to do differently and we'll want to repeat. You know, I know that'll be a big film that they watch. It's obviously a big film that we'll watch. It's not uncommon, right? We know that we're going to get people's best effort to stop Saquon, and that's just been what we've dealt with all year.
You've had quite a few guys. You have quite a few guys in load management right now that you're dealing with. What's the challenge of practicing like that? And do you not worry, like veteran guys, if they're on the practice field or not?
You know, obviously, you want everyone to practice and get ready to go for the game, but it is at this point of the year, and everybody's always in different positions, right? You fight the hard line of being ready to play on Sunday physically and doing the right things throughout the week to make sure you're ready to play, right? And so, if that makes sense, so you just got to fight that constantly. And really, I say this point of year, it's really something that we do throughout the entire year. What's the right amount to get ready for the game and perfect our craft and redefine our skills, and while also being ready to go physically for the grind of a four-quarter, five-quarter game that you're about to play. And so that's something that we deal with each week. We feel like we've done a lot of – again, I get all the information from everybody. Ultimately, I have to make the decisions, but I just got a lot of great people to help me out to help make those decisions. And, you know, the players, you know, they help me out with that, how their bodies are feeling, and obviously the trainers, doctors, and strength staff.
With how much you relied on younger players on defense this year, what has it taken behind the scenes to develop them?
Yeah, obviously great effort and energy by that player themselves to get themselves ready to go. You know, a lot of work from the coaches to the extra meetings with the coaches to, you know, to make sure that they've that you put them in positions that that they're going to be in the game. And sometimes you can't put them in every position they're going to be in the game out at practice. That's what walkthroughs for. That's what meetings are for. And that's what the extra meetings are for. And so a lot of work by the coaches and the players to get themselves in that. Obviously a phenomenal job by Howie and his staff to get the guys in here that are talented like they that we have. But all these things, that's what, and I feel like I said that a bunch today. It's like, yeah, it took this group of people to do that and this group of people to do that. That's what's awesome about an organization. That's what's awesome about football. You know, it's every player working together, every coach working together, every department working together, and we got a special organization.
All right. Thanks, folks.
All right, there it is. The Nick Sirianni press conference there. Midday show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Hugh, a lot to unpack from that press conference there. A couple of, at least one reporter working blue, which we had to take care of there. That's yeah, a new
where,
one, Hugh.
Where he
I don't give a
he can't be from around these parts. Because what's wrong with you, man? That those words aren't called for in a press conference, are they?
This is a family show. Maybe he didn't know that at the time. So, all right, a couple takeaways from the Sirianni press conference. We're going to have to isolate that audio because I got to be honest. As I was listening, I was like, wait, what? Did I hear that correctly? So we'll have some fun with that coming up. Elliot's going to join the show at 1 o'clock. But, Hugh, one thing that stood out there, and it was the second day in a row. I don't think it was just Fangio talking yesterday because Sirianni doubled down on it today, and they referenced him getting a chance to play in Week 18. Hugh, it sounds like we are going to get a chance to get some meaningful snaps at a Jeremiah Trotter Jr. on Sunday. I don't think that was just talk the way Sirianni spoke about it too.
No, I'm excited about it, man. I'm excited to see young Trot go out there and make his bones in the playoffs. Like I said, I think that this is going to end up with him getting a big interception at some point during the game, because I've heard a lot, especially now since N'Kobe Dean is out, about how the pass defense is not the greatest. But I think that young Trot has played with a lot of instincts. I know, even though I haven't talked to him in a while, that he's probably been watching films with his pops, and his pops has probably broke down that L.A. film, and they're probably going to tell him different tendencies and all this other stuff that he can see that's going to allow him to have success this weekend. So I can't wait to see it, man. I really, really can't.
Hugh, do you have any concern if he does get playing time that he's being thrown in the biggest games of the year? Now, normally I would as a rookie, maybe not so much with him, Hugh, because like you're saying, he's not your typical rookie. He's lived this his whole life. He's been around it. And obviously, you know, he gets to go home and get extra help, not just from the coaches. Do you have any concern, though? Like, hey, he hasn't played much this year, and now in the biggest moment of the season, he's on the field?
Not really. I know, like, but that's not – put it like this. I am confident that he's going to play well. He's going to make mistakes. I mean, there's no way around that. He's going to make mistakes. But is he going to make mistakes that's going to be a detriment to his development as a player? I don't think so. I don't think so. He's going to go out there, and there's going to be some things that he's not going to do. But the one thing that I feel strongly in saying is that young Trot's going to play with a lot of confidence. And that's the biggest thing that you need on these stages, man. Don't be afraid to go out there and make mistakes. And I think a lot of times when rookies go out there and they play in situations like this, that's the biggest thing that's the biggest monster that you got to battle, is the fact that you're going to make a mistake, and how do you handle that? You go out there, you're going to make mistakes.
You know what?
Yeah. You
yeah,
got
of course.
It.
But sometimes, you know, young players come on the field after not playing much during the season and they have big impact. I mean, I think back to 2017, Corey Clement, when the year started, was an undrafted running back that didn't get much run to start the season because they had so many guys above him on the depth chart, from Darren Sproles, but then eventually he got hurt. LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, the trade. But then you fast forward to the Super Bowl, and there's 100 yards receiving and a huge touchdown from Corey Clement. I'm not saying Trot Jr. is going to, you know, have 20 tackles in the Super Bowl, but I'm, you know, once in a while, a young player has to play, is pressed into duty, and they impact things and play at a really high level. This segment sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or grinding? Take your car to a locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. All right, let's talk to Sean in Philadelphia, who's up here at WIP. Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I just want to touch on something that I spoke to you guys earlier in the season about, and that's Jake Elliott. And, you know, we still have concerns about him. I hope people are not just sitting, you know, pretty, thinking that, you know, those big moments in NFL games when it comes down to a field goal kick. You know, I'm scared. I'm scared of Jake Elliott's, you know, his ability to come through for us. What you guys think?
Well, I'll put it this way, Sean.
I'm not as concerned as you are. I mean, I'm concerned, but I'm not scared. Yeah.
It does feel like they're playing with a little bit of fire here. We haven't got fully burnt, but I don't know. Sean, it feels to me like every game there's one kick where he either misses or he almost misses, and I'm holding my breath.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, that kind of stuff concerns me. You know, because basically, you know, as we know, it always comes down to a field goal kick. You know, missing one will lose the game for us. But overall, I think we got the Rams in the bag. I actually won some money off of that Vikings-Rams game because I picked the Rams to win. I didn't see Matthew Stafford losing two in a row. You know, he had to redeem himself from that Seattle loss. So,
well, and look, he played much better than Darnold. Yeah, but Darnold was a mess on Monday. And Sean, good job hitting that one. So here's the bottom line. Here they got away with the Elliott miss of the extra point the other day.
Yeah.
I just keep hoping this thing doesn't come down to an Elliott kick, because I'm nervous about it. It just feels like every game I have to hold my breath with the kicker. And at this point, I understand your point on this. Like, what are we going to do? He's the kicker. We've got to live or die with it now.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, we're much ado about something that we cannot do nothing about. You know, I heard John Ritchie talking this morning on the morning show, and he was saying he wished they would have gotten some competition during the regular season. And I hear him, but they didn't. They didn't. And this is the guy that you had to dance with. He's here. He's been clutch for you before. And we're in a position where down the stretch, we're gonna need him. So the best thing for all of us to do, because nothing's going to change, is try to encourage him. As a matter of fact, let's give him a standing ovation every time he goes out there. I mean, that has worked in the past.
I knew you were going
to
do this.
Yeah, what are we going to do? We got 3 weeks. We got 3 weeks, people. Go ahead and get up off your butt at the game. And when he goes out there to kick the ball, give him a standing ovation. Let him know you're pulling for him.
Because he misses a field goal. First quarter, he misses a field goal. You want, like, in the third and fourth quarter tie game, he rolls out there, a standing ovation?
Yeah.
Is that what you're calling for?
Yes.
How do you think that's going to go over in the stadium?
Listen, as much as we've been complaining about the kicker.
Haunt you.
Listen, as much as we've been complaining about the kicker and the quarterback, which either one of those guys we can't change, that's the only recourse we have at this point. If we're trying to make it to Louisiana, are we trying to go to Louisiana or no?
Well, Yes.
Okay, so go ahead and get your ass up and stand up for the kicker.
If it requires an ovation, I'm out.
Stand up for the kicker. Stand up for the kicker and give him a standing O.
Nobody's giving Jake Elliott a standing ovation. He missed an extra point on Sunday.
Y'all really don't want to sacrifice for the Eagles then to get to the Super Bowl. If you can't do that for this guy to give him confidence, then you're not really an Eagles fan. See what I did there, right? Putting pressure on
that's
everybody.
Strong. That's strong. That's strong.
Putting the pressure on everybody.
Yeah, that's not fair to do that. I know. Instead of the Eagles upgrading the kicker, you put this on us to fix.
I put it on,
it's not my
on the
fault.
Fans. Hey, listen, right, you better clap five. For him.
Yeah.
And give him a standing O. It ain't hard.
They're cheering Hugh Douglas.
Just stand up and cheer for him. Suck it up.
No.
215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. Do you feel better or worse after wildcard weekend? I don't feel better. A.J. Brown couldn't run. Jalen Hurts had one of the least efficient games you'll ever see in a winning effort, at least last 10 years. Jake Elliott missed an extra point. I got Hugh over here telling me to give a standing ovation to the kicker. Elliott's going to join us at 1, but we got a couple things to hit when we get back. Hugh's updated take on incident at the link and a hypothetical championship game lines. If the Eagles go to Detroit, if Washington comes here, how much are they favored by? How much are they underdogs by? We'll hit that next. 215-592-95.